Hi friends, and welcome to another episode of the Impactivity Podcast, where we talk about the struggle to both discover and embrace the unique adventure of our lives, and how to turn our natural productivity as women into a life that has lasting impact. I'm Rachel, and I am joined by Tracy.
Hi all. We are talking about the Ignite element this week of Impactivity. And Ignite just has to do with getting going, getting the work started. The first three elements are more about getting ready, about getting free to follow the dream that you're beginning to understand that God has for your life, and about preparing just by thinking it through and getting ready with a plan. But once all that's in place, it's time to ignite. And ignite is the fourth element, and we're ready to get started on really doing the work. But a lot of times what we find once we get ready to get started is that suddenly we realize that time is becoming an issue, that either we feel like we don't have any time to work on our dream at all, or perhaps your dream is getting so involved and getting so big that it's getting bigger than you, and you really don't feel like you can accomplish it all. So that's what we're going to talk about today, how to tackle that issue of no time because this thing is too big for you, more than you can handle on your own. And I want to start, too, by just kind of touching on something that we probably don't say often enough. It's underlying always as Rachel and I are talking about these topics, but we really do need to speak it specifically each time. And that is that we're talking about a God-given dream here. We're not in this for our own glory. We're not in this to get rich. We're not in this to get famous. This dream is our unique part in God's kingdom, in God's work, and it's God's purposes in our life. So as we talk about feeling too busy and wanting to tackle that by having some solutions, remember that we're not talking about doing it in order to just get rich and famous and make ourselves bigger. We're doing it because we know that we have a unique place in God's kingdom and a unique work to do, and we want to make sure that we're doing the right things.
Yeah, I think that's super important to remember that this is something that is our unique gifting. And as we talk about this outsourcing and delegating and things like that, remembering what your giftings are versus what other people's giftings are, and maybe sometimes what other people's dreams are, is a really important thing to keep in mind.
We're going to get practical. We're going to talk about some specifics of how to outsource and how to automate and delegate some of the things in your life so that you can free up time. And there are lots of ways to multiply time, right? We can talk about habits, and we do talk about habits a lot. Being able to just speed up your workflow, things like that, focusing on things, all of those things multiply time. But another really amazing and great way to multiply your time is to get some things sort of on autopilot, and also to delegate some things to other people, whether those are paid people, employees, friends, your children, whoever that might be. Delegating is another way to free up time. And so we're going to talk about some practical ways to do that. But like I said, we want to remember that this is all in service to God's kingdom. And in that way, it sort of relates to unshackle, because we're getting even more freed up here to pursue the dream that God's given us. And we're getting freed up specifically in the area of time. So one of the things that we tend to do naturally when we realize we just don't have time, I think there's probably two things. One is we start pushing the dream off. We just say, we don't have the time, we don't have the energy. And so we just stop thinking about it. We stop dreaming about it, and we stop pursuing it. But the other thing I think sometimes that we do is we kind of get into this ignite element. We get to the place of being ready to work on things, and then we sort of ignite too hard, if that's possible to do. We work too hard, basically, is what I'm saying. And those other couple of elements at the end here of Impactivity, the recharging and the connecting, which are also so critical to our daily workflow and our daily balance in life, we ignore them. We just work, work, work. And I think that both of those are a problem. And the reason I think, and again, I like to look at the heart issues and not just what's going on in our schedules or our time management, but what's really going in our hearts. And I think one of the reasons, or a couple of reasons, that we do this, we have a hard time automating, delegating, hiring, outsourcing things, is this sort of pride idea of I can do it all. I can do it all. Look at me. I'm working so hard. Maybe, you know, I'm such a martyr, but there's this resistance to giving things over to other people out of this wanting to be seen as a person who does it all. And the other thing is going on, that the other thing that I think is going on in our hearts is just this idea of I can do it better. So, you know, we want people to see us doing everything, and we want people to understand that we can do it better. There's this perfectionism or this control thing going on that makes us resist giving things over to other people. And those are two heart issues that we really need to look at our hearts and think about. But the other thing I think that's going on sometimes, and this is just really practical, and it's nothing to beat ourselves up about, but that it is really hard to find people, to train people. And a lot of times we do feel legitimately sometimes that it would be easier or faster to do it ourselves. And so we resist this idea of getting other people involved in our dream. But if we're going to really make progress and get further, we realize that we need to. And so we really need to think about practical ways that we can do that.
Yeah. And not only does it help us and save us time, but it also is about community, right? Like, we're not meant to live our dreams alone. I don't think that that's what God intended us to do, to separate and all be doing our own thing. So allowing people to come alongside of us, giving people opportunities, those are all important steps in this, even when it's hard. It's hard to give control. It's hard to find the right person and to hire them. And there's a lot of fear that goes into hiring the wrong person or working with the wrong person, and they could mess it up or they could do something that's harmful. But being able to like overcome that fear and look for the people and understand that not only is it going to help you, but it's also going to help the other person as well, potentially.
That's really good. Rachel's always thinking about other people. She's really good at that, about involving other people in what she's doing in a way that honors their gifts and really promotes community. So she has a way of delegating in a way that actually is all about connection, which is cool because she's getting the work done, getting more work done, getting it done better, but there's also connecting that's happening at the same time. And so I think that's really cool. The other thing that Rachel is really good at is automation. And she actually spoke the words to me a couple of days ago saying, "I'm obsessed with automation." So that's probably not something that most of you have ever said, but Rachel is a little obsessed with automation. So talk about automation, Rachel.
Yeah, well, I'm a programmer, that is my job. And so I am always looking for new things to program and code. And the thing that I love about code is that it allows me to free myself out of things that I don't love doing. So when there is something in front of me that I know is going to be tedious or monotonous, like, I do my best to find some way to make it more enjoyable and more fun. And typically that means coding some sort of automation. Now, there are challenges with this. Sometimes it takes longer to automate the thing than it actually would to just do the thing. But it was more fun, so, you know.
But also, wouldn't you say that you tend to do that with things that you know are going to be repetitive?
Yeah.
So, you know, it took longer to automate it this first time around, maybe even longer to automate it than it would to do it the non-automated way two or three times. But, you know, when you're looking at something that you know is going to happen over and over again, then it's worth it.
Yeah. And that's really been the key point as I have grown in my maturity of that, is looking at, okay, how much time do I think it's going to take me to automate? How many times of doing this repetitive task does that overcome? Because it could take 20 times the amount of one of these tasks, and that's probably not going to pay off in the end. Right. But if it's two times, then yeah, like, it's worth it because I'm going to have to do this a lot more. So finding that balance of when should I just kind of like suck it up and do the thing, and it's not going to be fun for 20 times, but it's done. And when should I automate it because it really will save a lot of time in the future?
So those are good qualifications for, you know, when to automate. But for those of the listeners who aren't coders, who aren't programmers, which is probably, you know, 99.9% of the people listening, you know, what are we talking about when we're talking about automation? So they're not writing their own programs to get things going. They're, you know, we're talking about some things that are very doable by anybody who's comfortable with a computer, basically, comfortable with a smartphone.
Yeah, there are lots of tools out there that were already developed and coded for you in order to make things better. And for that, it's about how long is it going to take you to learn that system and implement that into your life? What is the multiplier of time there to actually being able to just do it yourself?
So I'll speak to that from a non-coding person, you know, a person who is comfortable with tech, but not somebody who is going to dive into anything that's too complicated. You know, I'm not going to have the patience for that. I'm just going to say, I'll do it myself, you know, the same way every time. So a few things that I find really pretty easy to set up and to keep going with. One of them is just bill paying. I think, you know, automating your bill paying, getting all of your bills, pulling from your checking account as much as possible, you know, getting those utility companies set up to just take their money when it's time to pay them, so that you never have to write a bill. The recurring payments that you make, whether it's rent or mortgage or something like that, where it's the same amount every week, setting that up with your bank to just pay it on the first of the month or pay it whenever it's due. You know, it's really not that hard to set that up. And the freedom of knowing that all your bills are being paid on time and that you never have to think about it and you never have to do it is awesome. So that's one example of automation. I think another example for me is email. I have a ton of email coming at me. I mean, sometimes it just feels crazy how much email is coming at me from all different parts of my life. And one of the ways that I automate email is simply with lots of labels and folders and, you know, whatever your email program calls them, ways where you're creating filters so that email is coming through and getting deposited in different places where you can tackle it in a much better way. So a little bit of automation goes a long way there. If your inbox is not so overwhelming, you're more likely to empty it. So if you can get the stuff that you maybe subscribe to but don't have to read, get that all filtered to somewhere else. You know, that kind of thing can really automate some things in your life, and it frees up time. I mean, you're probably thinking, oh, how much time is that really saving? But you would be surprised how much time is spent just simply filtering through stuff, and even the time that it takes in your brain, you know, just that repeated, like, oh, I got to do that, that's looming, to free that up and get that white space in your head really can go a long way to just making you able to think about other things. There's lots of other things too, even just purchases. You know, I think getting your purchases set up in a more automated way online rather than having to run to the store, you know, on a subscription basis if you can. Like, you probably use a pretty regular amount of a lot of things in your life, you know, toothpaste, paper towels, things like that, where, you know, you could just set up an automated delivery of that in some way. And it's, you know, it's one less thing to have to run out to the store for because, you know, you can't go without toothpaste or whatever for, you know, more than 24 hours. So you run out and you're like, oh, I got to go to the store. So just things like that. Even reminders, setting up reminders for yourself so that you free up your brain to think about other things and automatically come up. I have so many reminders that come up, and, you know, this might seem silly or crazy, but sometimes they're a year away. So, you know, I've got reminders that come up at the beginning of November for Thanksgiving. I usually have about 30 people or so at my house for Thanksgiving. And so, you know, every November 1st, stuff pops up, like, here's what you got to buy, here's what you need to think about. And all of that stuff is just recorded. And so I don't have to hold it in my head and remember it. It's just this automated thing that pops up. Every middle of October, I have a pop-up reminder that tells me how much candy I bought last year and how much I went through, because I really don't want to have extra candy laying around my house after Halloween. And I really don't want to buy too little and have to, you know, shut my lights off and lock my door before the kids stop coming. So I've got a recorded amount of, you know, how much candy I went through last year. And just, you know, it's there's simple little things, but they do free up your time and your mind when you automate them.
Yeah. And even the process of that automation can be helpful. So using things in your life like Siri or Alexa or Google Home or anything else that you have in order to say, like, hey, Siri, remind me to do this thing or remind me to do that. And often you can speak that louder than you can even type it. So using the resources available to you to even speed up that process of reminding yourself to do things or remembering things later.
Yeah, if you're not using those tools, but you have access to them easily on your phone or wherever you are, I would say take a few minutes to learn it. You know, I've got an iPhone and Siri is like, you know, one of my best friends, it feels like, because I talk to her more than I talk to most of my friends. And, you know, make use of the things like, remind me when I get home to do this. You know, if you don't know that Siri can do that, it's awesome. You know, you set up your location of your home and your phone picks up when you arrive at your home and a little reminder pops up as soon as you walk in the door. Stuff like that can really help automate your life.
Or even when you're leaving, you can tell Siri to remind you when you leave your home or when you leave wherever you are. So, like, you're out and you remember you need to pick up milk on the way home, and you tell her to remind you when you leave this place to pick up milk, and you get in your car and you start driving and all of a sudden it's there. And that thing that would have stayed in your head and bugging you all evening long while you're hanging out with friends, like, remember to buy milk, remember to buy milk, remember to buy milk, you've now offloaded to something else to free up that space to allow you to focus on where you're at and what you're doing and not have to have that constant anxiety in the back of your head of like, I need to remember this thing.
Yeah, something you said there just made me think of something that, you know, I want to move to like talking about delegation. We want to talk about, you know, whether that's hiring a person that's going to be an employee, whether it's, you know, getting somebody to do it for free or even a freelancer that you're hiring on a one-time basis. But in a way, and I was kind of thinking of all of those things as separate from automation, that automation is a different thing. But in a way, automation is basically delegating something to technology.
Yep.
You know, rather than delegating it to a person, you're delegating it to technology. So I'm not saying to someone else, hey, would you pick up milk on the way home? I'm saying to my smartphone, remind me to pick up milk on the way home, and then I can forget about it because my personal assistant basically is going to remember it for me and remind me at just the right time, whether it's a year from now when Thanksgiving comes up or it's, you know, 2 hours from now when I leave where I am. You've delegated that to technology. So, but let's talk about other ways to delegate. Let's talk about other ways to get people involved.
Yeah. So people are super important to this, and remembering that other people like to do other things than you, they are gifted at other things than you, and things that you think you hate and you would never want to give to someone else because I'm sure they would hate it too, is not always true. Some people really love that stuff, even when you can't understand that or fathom it. And some people, maybe it is about just like, you need to give someone the opportunity to make some money. I know when I was a kid, my mom owned a business, and being able to like her give me some jobs every now and then to make some money was super important to me. And even if I was the teenager that maybe wasn't doing it the best, being able to have that opportunity was important, and it freed up some of her time to focus on other things that she cared about more.
I really like that idea too, that remembering that, you know, your tasks that you hate might be someone else's tasks that they love. And so sometimes we're really hesitant to outsource stuff or delegate or hire because we think, who would want to do this? I don't even want to do this. But you know, if you can kind of remember that, like, your nightmare might be someone else's dream, like literally that might be their dream. But for you, it's just the horrible part of the stuff that you have to put up with in order to pursue your dream. So, I think that's really important that we remember that not everybody feels the same way about all things. How do you, Rachel, think about delegating, like what to delegate? Because I mean, I think that's one way to think about, like, what do I hate doing? What do I not want to do? Let me figure out how someone else can do it. But is there anything else? I have another thing I kind of think about.
I think my number one qualification for whether or not I should outsource or hire is if it is detracting from the things that I am gifted at. So there are things that have been put in me that I am uniquely gifted at, that I love, that I feel like I'm called to do. And if other things are detracting from my ability to do that by time or just headspace or whatever it is, if something's detracting from that, then I need to bring someone else in, or I need to offload that in automation or something else, because it's important that I am able to do the things that only I can do, the things that I am uniquely given to do right now.
Yeah, and that's basically what I was going to say too, but you said it better, because I think that, you know, I was thinking, what are the things that only I can do? You know, the things that, if there are things that I don't absolutely have to do myself in this, if someone else can do it, then I should try to figure out a way that someone else does do it. But I like the even broader perspective that you have of just, you know, is it detracting? Is it taking away from? So it's actually not just offloading stuff that I don't have to do. It's thinking about, you know, what is really harming or, you know, or keeping me from what I'm supposed to be doing, and how can I be even more responsible, really, you know, with the gifts that I've been given? How can I give other people things to do so that I can do what I do even better? Not just about freeing up my time so I can do more of it, but that I can actually do it better. So, you know, I have things I delegate to my kids. My kids started doing their laundry when they were probably about 6 or 7 years old. They've got chores. There's things that they do that, you know, I don't feel guilty at all about having them do. It's teaching them to be responsible. It's teaching them skills, but it's also saving me time. And I think, you know, kids are a great source of free labor, and you are definitely doing them good by giving them stuff to do. But with hiring, you know, that is a little bit of a different issue. There's issues of finding a person to hire, but there's also just the money involved, and that can be an issue as well. So, you know, it is a sacrifice.
Yeah. And the reality is there are going to be times where we have to do things that we don't love or that aren't our gifting. Like, that is true. And sometimes we have to push through, and that's okay. And that's why, to me, it's really about when is it starting to harm the things that I'm gifted at? Because if it's not harming those things, then yeah, like maybe I just need to push through and keep doing it. And it's not the funnest thing, and it's not the like thing I want to be doing in this moment, but it's also responsible for me to not pay money to outsource that because I have the ability and I have the time or the resources or whatever it is. But as soon as that starts hurting something that I need to be doing or I should be doing, then that is when I start looking for any creative way to do that. If I don't have the money, then I'm looking for a friend that wants to do it because they love it so much and they'll do it for free, or a kid, or whatever it is, to try and just eliminate some of those things that are encroaching on the important things that I've been asked to do.
And I think that's different for everybody, don't you? I think like finding what those things are, we can't say, oh, you should be paying someone to do this, but you should not be paying someone to do that. That's impossible, right? So I will admit here, and maybe this will make some of you judge me, and maybe this will make some of you feel some freedom, but I will admit that I pay someone to clean my house. I hate house cleaning. I will avoid house cleaning. It weighs on me. It's, you know, something that takes up my mental space because I'm procrastinating it. And there are people who do it better. So I'm, you know, there's people that are listening, I'm sure that could say like, oh, that, you know, how nice for you that you can afford someone to clean your house, that little luxury, and there's no way that I could. Well, that might be true. And if that is true, then, you know, clean your house joyfully for sure. But it could also be that, like me, you just would need to sacrifice in other areas in order to give yourself that little bit of extra money. And that money gives you time and mental freedom. And so, you know, there are other things that I could do with that money, certainly. And it hurts every time I pay it, to be honest. You know, I think about, you know, some other luxury maybe that I could have, or just simply, wow, this could really go towards, you know, the car repairs that we're now struggling a little bit to make happen. So, you know, it is a sacrifice. It's not just simply, oh, I have so much money, I don't know what to do with it, that I give it to people to do things that I could do myself. You know, it's a very conscious and deliberate decision to give myself the time and the mental freedom in that particular area. There's other areas that, you know, I could pay someone to do, and I don't, because either I enjoy them more, or they're just easier for me, or they don't take that much time, or whatever. But like I said, this is not a one-size-fits-all kind of advice.
Right. And sometimes it's weighing like where that money is coming from and how you're doing that. So like Tracy owns a small business, and if she spends the 2 hours working on that business and growing that business while that other person is cleaning her house, she has the ability to potentially make more money or just as much money to pay for that person. But she's probably enjoying growing that business more than she is cleaning the house. And so like remembering that too, like sometimes you can free up your time, and that actually gives you the potential to make the money to pay for that other thing. So while it might hurt at first, if you're using that time that you're gaining wisely, you can actually come out ahead in the long run. But you have to make those decisions intentionally, and you have to use that free time intentionally as well.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, from a business perspective specifically, when you're thinking about employees or outsourcing work, that one of the secrets I feel like to the success that I've had in business over the years is to hire or outsource before I feel like I can afford it. Because what happens as soon as I offload that particular thing, especially if it's something ongoing, is that my brain gets freed up to do creative things with the business that grow it and that move it farther along. And that if I had stayed stuck in the doing everything that I can do, rather than, you know, only doing the things that only I can do, if I kept doing everything that I have the ability to do, things would not have progressed as far as, you know, financial success in that business and growing the business, because I would not have had the free time to think creatively about how to grow it. So then the other thing I wanted to say about hiring or outsourcing is that when you do find that person, try to find someone, you know, a lot of times when we have a project or a dream that we're working on, you know, we have the ability, like I said, to do all of it ourselves. It's not that we can't do it. We can. But when you go to find someone to help you with it, that you're going to pay or whatever, try to find someone who can do it at least a little bit better than you or a little bit faster than you. That's always a good thing. You know, we tend to think we can do it all, but there's somebody out there that can do it better or faster. So when you go looking for that person, try to find that person so that not only is your time freed up and multiplied by giving that thing over, but then that thing is actually getting done better or getting done faster. And that can be a really beautiful thing when you've got other people working on your dream with you and you see that happening. And there's so many tools out there for hiring, for outsourcing, from, you know, online job places to, you know, freelance. I'll just mention one specifically that I have been really happy with, and that is the site Upwork, which is basically a site where freelancers are, and you can hire people for projects just kind of on a one-time basis, and they've got tons of filters that you can make it really easy to find just the perfect person for what you're looking for. And Upwork handles all the payments and all of that, so you can feel confident that you're not, you know, throwing your money someplace where, you know, to some stranger and you may never get the work done. So there's a lot of different tools that you can use for that.
Yeah, and I would say don't be afraid to ask your community and the people around you. I led our operations team at church for a long time, and there were a lot of things that I was very capable of doing. But what I quickly learned is that if I did everything, I would burn out. And the more that I asked the community around me for help, the more I found people with those giftings that cared about this thing maybe more than I did, creating this thing or building that thing, or had more skills than I did. And I didn't even know that they had that desire or whatever. So just being willing to ask and being willing to ask your community in a broad way, not even just the people that you know what their giftings are or what they love, but also outside of that scope, going large and saying like, hey, I'm looking for someone that can use power tools because I'm not great at that. I can do it, but I'm not great at it. And someone could build this thing better than I could. And you'll be surprised who has that desire but doesn't tell anybody about it, or no one knows. And giving them that opportunity to use those things often is like really special to them and really important to them as well. And it can be this really beautiful thing of not only am I not doing something that I don't love, but I'm giving someone the opportunity that does love it to do it.
So once again, Rachel, you are all about connection, and I'm telling people, yeah, get on the computer and hire a perfect stranger that you never have to actually talk to. And you're involving people in your community in a beautiful way. So we have different strengths and different ways we go about that. But I love that just that different perspective that, you know, there's all kinds of ways to get people involved, and, you know, all kinds of outcomes from that, too. So there's different ways to do it. So this is getting long and we could probably still keep going. You can tell this is a topic that we love, but I think to wrap up, I just wanted to say that in all of this, you know, again, going back to what I was saying at the beginning, I want us to remember the why that we're doing it, that we're being, you know, if you grew up in church, you heard that phrase over and over, being a good steward of your resources, of your gifts, of your talents. And that's really just what's implied there is that everything that we've been given, from our talents to our money, has been given to us by God. And we're just really supposed to be taking care of it. We're supposed to be using it and investing it. So invest your money to gain time, and then invest your time in what's really important, in God's purposes in your life and the dream that He is giving to you.
Well, that's all we have time to talk about today. But if you want to have some practical tips on how to automate your life or delegate, we're going to put together a list of some of our favorite resources, some tutorials, things like that, to allow you to really dig into this and find new ways to help your own system. So if you want to see those, visit impactivity.com/moretime. That's more time, all one word. And we would love to have you check that out and see what is going on. Also, we would really appreciate it if you took some time to follow us on our social media platforms. So we're on Instagram at Impactivity, we're on Facebook, Impactivity, and we are on Twitter at Impactivity, 2day. whatever your favorite social media platform is, we'd love to have you follow us just to keep up with what we're doing. We have some fun weekly challenges and lots of quotes and things like that to keep you motivated throughout your week. So check us out there. Thanks for joining us today, and we will talk to you soon.